What's up, everybody? This is Jalen Short, aka Head Honcho, and I am back with episode 8 of the Head Honcho Sports Podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking about some things that, you know, just happened, you know, maybe an hour ago. You know, it's pretty recent news. And we're going to be talking about the Bears' performance yesterday, and we're going to be talking about, you know, some highlights that we saw from Justin Fields, and we're going to touch on the Bulls and how they've, you know, performed this season so far. And one of their key pieces is gonna be, it's not gonna be available for them for the entirety of the season. So we're gonna be talking about that, and we're gonna be touching on James Harden and his struggles so far in this season. So I'll just get right to the first topic. Von Miller, he just got traded to the Los Angeles Rams, and that right there that defense is going to be crazy. He got traded for a 2022 second and third round pick. That defense is going to be crazy. You know, it's because you have Aaron Donald. You know, he's one of the best defensive players in the league, if not the best. You know, he's just tough all around. There's nothing you could do about it, you know. And, you know, adding Von Miller on that defensive line, it's going to be crazy, because that, you know, those kind of players, those are game changing players. They make plays defensively, you know, and once they start making plays together, it's going to be a crazy dynamic to see, you know. And they have Jalen Ramsey, one of the best corners in the league, if not the best corner in the league, you know. So those three players on defense, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be so crazy. I feel like, you know, the Los Angeles Rams, they're going all in. You know, they're just putting all the chips in the middle, and, like, you know, we're going for it all, because they want to win. You know, they got Matthew Stafford this offseason. You know, they felt as if, you know, they needed a quarterback. So they're putting all their chips, they're putting all their eggs in the basket, you know, because they want to get that Super Bowl. They fell short a couple years ago against Tom Brady. They want to get back to where they were, and I don't blame them. You know, I feel like they're, you know, one of the top teams in the NFC. So we're just going to see how that plays out. And some other unfortunate news: Derrick Henry has a potentially season-ending foot injury. The extent of the injury hasn't been announced yet, but he could miss 6 to 10 weeks. You know, that's going to hurt the Titans, because obviously Derrick Henry is maybe, you know, the best running back in the league right now. And with him out, you lose all of your running attack. You know, you lose teams being scared of your running attack. You know, you lose that physicality of the football game. And like I said, losing a player like that, players like that are game-changing players. You know, they make plays continuously throughout the game. So with that being said, it's like, once the Titans, you know, the Titans have progressed throughout the season. You know, they beat the Chiefs, you know, 2 weeks ago. They beat the Colts yesterday, and they're really coming along. You know, they really thought this was the year for them. You know, they really thought that Derrick Henry was going to put them over the hump. They thought that, you know, they were better than the Chiefs now. You know, the Chiefs they're having their struggles. So they thought that this was the year. But Derrick Henry, you know, that's going to be a big loss for them. You know, I believe that they're not a Super Bowl threat anymore, you know, because of that. Derrick Henry's out. So we're just going to see how they perform. You know, I feel as if, you know, they need to trade for a running back. They need to trade for, you know, some kind of running back, maybe, you know, the same kind of player Derrick Henry was. There's no one like Derrick Henry at all, you know, no one in the league. But they can trade for a player like Derrick Henry, you know, that brings the same dynamic to the team and to the offense. So we'll see how that goes. Next, I want to talk about Justin Fields and my Bears. You know, it was tough, you know, seeing us, you know, lose against the 49ers, because of, you know, I thought we were going to win. You know, it was a close game, you know, and Justin Fields played better than I've ever seen him play, honestly. He went 19 for 27, 175 yards, one touchdown, one interception. He also had 10 carries for 103 yards and one touchdown. Khalil Herbert, 23 carries for 72 yards. And Darnell Mooney, had 6 receptions for 64 yards. You know, he just looked more free, Justin Fields. He just looked as if, you know, there wasn't that monkey on his back, so to speak. And that monkey being Matt Nagy, you know, he was really just a hindrance to his success. You know, that's how I feel, because yesterday, like I said, it was the best I've seen him play this season. He actually looked like an NFL quarterback. He didn't look like a rookie. He didn't look like he was rattled. He actually looked like an NFL quarterback. So with that, it's like, you want that every game. You want that. You want to see him play that well every game. You know, there were a lot of play actions, read option plays, you know, and I feel as if, you know, Bill Lazor and the interim head coach, they really wanted to highlight his athleticism. And that's what they need to push the issue on that every week. Because there was a wild play where, you know, it was a read option play. He didn't see anything to the right, and he literally circled the entire field and scored a touchdown. Plays like that, he's a playmaker, point blank period. He's a playmaker because of his athleticism. So you have to highlight that every single week. And Matt Nagy, I feel as if he had trouble with highlighting that because he doesn't really know how to coach. Well, maybe he doesn't really know how to coach a guy like Justin Fields, a very athletic guy that can make plays. And Matt Nagy being at home and watching, I hope he saw, you know, what Justin Fields can do, because like I said, he just looked more free. You know, he just looked like, okay, I can play now. The coaches are setting me up for success. I can really show what I can do now. He had a couple of nice throws, you know, he had a couple great balls. So it was just like, I really love seeing that. And I feel as if the entire Bears organization loved seeing that. You know, I feel as if they really saw what he could do. And I really, you know, don't want to judge him on this season, regardless of his performances. I don't want to. Just because of the fact that, you know, Matt Nagy is still the head coach. And, you know, I feel as if he doesn't really know, like I said, he doesn't really know what to do with Justin Fields or how to set him up for success. So I really want to judge him, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years down the line, because with experience is the best teacher, you know, sometimes. So with experience, he's going to become a great quarterback, you know, a great polished quarterback, you know, that can stand in the pocket and really make throws. And obviously, you know, the athleticism, you know, that's his strength. So it's really going to be, you know, exciting to see him in maybe 2 or 3 years when he's actually, you know, gotten a lot of experience under his belt and stuff like that. So hopefully, you know, we can build on this. You know, like I said, we got beat bad by Tampa Bay last week. Hopefully we can build on, you know, this performance by Justin Fields, but, you know, obviously it came in a loss. So, you know, it's tough, you know, to see that. But like I said, hopefully we can build on it. We have the Steelers next week. So, hopefully, like I said, we can build on that. Next, I want to talk about Jameis Winston. He tore his MCL and ACL, so that's really going to hurt the Saints. Their backup quarterback is Mike Glennon. You know, I still think they have Taysom Hill. So we're going to see how that plays out. You know, Saints, they beat Tampa Bay. That was crazy. I didn't believe they were going to beat Tampa Bay, and it's crazy because they lost against Tampa Bay twice. I mean, excuse me, they won against Tampa Bay twice last year. Tampa Bay lost, and they lost again this season. And it seems like Tom Brady can't figure the Saints out. You know, the Saints have a great pass rush, you know. And it seems like he just can't figure the Saints out. Marshawn Lattimore on the back end. So it's tough to beat the Saints. You know, they're not one of the more dangerous teams in the NFL. But they, if you come in, you know, quote unquote, playing around, so to speak, you're going to get beat. And that's what you saw with Tampa Bay. So yeah, hopefully I wish him a speedy recovery. You know, he really, you know, he was going to be the quarterback for the future for the Saints. So I wish him a speedy recovery. Next, I want to talk about my Bulls. You know, my Bulls, they played great. I really liked what I've seen from the Bulls. They've really just shown that, you know, excitement can be brought to this city just with a few wins. You know, we're only 5-1, you know, and just with a few wins, the city is so excited for this team. They're really, really ecstatic just to see what this team can do. DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, Lonzo Ball, Nikola Vucevic. Unfortunately, we lost Pat Williams for the rest of the season. He has a broken wrist. He's going to undergo surgery. But, you know, like I said, our depth is our problem. Just because of, you know, when the starters are in the game, we have an actual system. We have an actual game plan. You know, guys have their spots and they get to their spots well. DeMar DeRozan, he's a mid-range guy. He gets to any mid-range spot he wants to and shoots the ball. It's a bucket. Zach LaVine, he does his thing. Athleticism, back cuts, you know, lobs. Lonzo Ball facilitates the offense, scores from time to time, shoots threes. You know, so everyone has their, you know, Nikola Vucevic, post-ups, offensive rebounds, defensive rebounds. Everyone has their thing. As far as the bench goes, we don't have an identity as far as the bench, because guys just coming off the bench and, you know, they just play. You know, they don't really have, you know, their niche yet. And it's going to be interesting to see how Billy Donovan handles that, because our bench, you know, you have to have a successful bench to win in this league. You know, your starters can't take you all the way. So as far as our bench goes, we just have to, you know, maybe, because when the bench comes in, it's just raining threes. I've watched the Bulls play and it's just raining threes when the bench comes in. And you know, you can't have a game plan like that when the bench, like, they just come in and, you know, the new NBA is so perimeter oriented. So it's just like, it's just a three-point game, and it can't be like that. So, like I said, regardless of that, I've been very excited from, like, the performances of my Bulls. So I can't wait to get, you know, later in the season and really see what they can do, you know. We have a lot of top teams. We play Boston tonight. We have a lot of top teams in the East. You know, Milwaukee, Miami. Miami is really, you know, Miami is scary. You know, last year, they weren't really who they were. They lost their identity because, you know, they really pride themselves on defense and playing, you know, gritty, and being swept by the Milwaukee Bucks in that first round. You know, they really put a hit to their, you know, identity. So we're going to see how Miami plays. We're going to see how Milwaukee plays. We're going to see how Brooklyn plays. And, you know, speaking of Brooklyn, James Harden, I'm going to talk about James Harden. You know, it's watching James all of these years. He's one of the best offensive talents I've ever seen in the NBA. And his, you know, calling card was his first step. Once James hits you with those in and outs, those between the legs continuously, he can either a quick crossover, first step, he's at the rim already, and he either draws a foul or it's a bucket, or he can hit you with all those between the legs, crossover, step back for the three ball. This season with James Harden, all of his makes and all of his buckets have been coming off of just tough makes. I honestly believe his hamstring didn't heal properly because his first step isn't there. You don't see it. Everyone is talking about, you know, he's not getting the foul calls. And he's right. He's not getting any foul calls because it's, you know, the NBA refs, you know, it's starting to become a new thing. They're not giving these easy fouls, these, you know, chump change fouls. And James is really having a problem with that. But, you know, regardless of the not getting foul calls and not going to the free throw line as much as he did in the past, you know, James Harden has always been able to draw fouls. Always. Regardless of that, though, his first step looks like it looked like he's burnt out. It seems as if he played in the Olympics this year or something. Like, it feels as if he's coming off an entire NBA season and just coming right back to another one. Like, it just looks as if he's burnt out. Like, he doesn't have that step in his game anymore. And like I said, you can see it, and Brooklyn is suffering from that. You know, KD is just, he's shouldering the load right now. You know, obviously James Harden, he's putting up his numbers. He's putting up, you know, 18, 20s and 22s, but that's not really James Harden numbers. You know, James Harden is usually putting up 30s and 35s, you know, almost on a nightly basis. And like I said, all of his makes and all of his buckets now, they've come off of tough makes and tough shots. And, you know, he's so talented, he can do that. He can affect the game just off of tough makes and tough shots without him even having a first step anymore, you know. So that's going to be interesting to see how they, you know, gauge that, because like I said, KD is just shouldering the entire load now. He's been playing great. He's been playing amazing. You know, it's starting to look like KD. Obviously, he's the best player in the league right now, but he maybe can be going for MVP season. So, you know, like I said, they miss Kyrie. They really do. Like I said, Kyrie was really a key piece to their success, obviously, just because of his scoring ability, you know. And we're going to see. I just want to see how they perform. You know, I feel as if, you know, they're not really the top team in the East anymore. I believe it's Milwaukee, Miami, then Brooklyn, because of Miami's defense and the way they play and how much scoring they have now. Last year they lacked scoring. That's why they really didn't do anything in the playoffs. They got swept by Milwaukee. They lacked scoring and Jimmy Butler couldn't do all the scoring. So they have scoring now. You know, Kyle Lowry can put up buckets. Tyler Hero's been playing amazing. That guy, you know, that work he's put in, it's really showing now. So he's really a bucket now. They can really rely on him to get buckets. And, you know, Bam Adebayo's going to do his thing. Jimmy Butler's going to do his thing. They have PJ Tucker now. So they're a really tough team. And Milwaukee, you know, they're just tough all around. They're a great team. They have a great bunch of guys that know their role and know what they want to do. So with that being said, this is the end of episode 8 of the Headhunter Sports Podcast. If you haven't checked out my YouTube channel yet, it's the same as this, you know, at Headhunter Sports Podcast on YouTube. You know, like, comment, subscribe, and turn on those post notifications over there on YouTube. And I will see you guys in episode 9.